Good morning. Turn, if you will, to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. Today we have many businesses that place a high emphasis on customer service. The reason is they want to distinguish themselves apart from those that don't have good customer service. And some of these companies will go to extraordinary lengths in order to provide excellent service. There are websites devoted to the consumer going out and giving their, in most cases, their gripe or complaint about the deplorable customer service that they may have received from a company. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of having to call a tech support line, say for your computer or for something else, and the frustration of maybe having to wait or being routed from this person to that person to another person with seemingly no help and answer to your problem. Or possibly just going into a department store and needing assistance to buy something, and it's obvious that the staff there are not engaged in their position and not paying any attention. So you, again, have to wait, and can I get your questions answered? But the companies that are out there seeking to have excellent customer service, they understand that there's something at stake. And from their perspective, it's the bottom line, the dollar, how much they can make from making a customer happy and hopefully having that customer come back again and again and again. And as we look at what businesses do in terms of customer service, we should be looking at our lives in terms of how do we treat others. Our motivation is not how much we can make or what we can get out of another person, although sometimes people do have wrong motives in how they treat others. But in 1 Peter 4, we find a very simple and clear command that is given to us. And look at verse 8, 1 Peter 4. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. This morning, we're going to look at this area of hospitality, Christian hospitality, one that is not motivated by personal gain, but one that is rooted in our appreciation for what God has done for us. And we need to ask ourselves this morning, do we have biblical, Christ-like hospitality towards those that we come into contact with? Let's first of all start with a basic definition of what hospitality is. Webster defines it as given to the generous and cordial reception of guests. The word hospitality itself comes from a Latin word, and it has the combination of the word that we get hospital from and another word which mean both guest and host. And this word here that we find in 1 Peter 4 in the Greek has the idea of generous to guest, a love of a stranger. And this concept comes from in the Greek times when people had to travel and stay at inns along the roadside. And it was not uncommon for them to have to encounter strangers many times during the day. We can live in our own little cocoon here, in essence, and avoid any kind of stranger with the way we live our lives today, other than the people that we might do business with in a store. But in the world that we live, it is often that we do not even encounter strangers. But the question is, what kind of attitude, what kind of response do we have towards those that God brings across our path. Let's first of all look at our motivation for showing hospitality. First of all, hospitality is an attribute of God. And if I had a title for this, it would be The Theology of Hospitality, because when we look at different attributes and aspects of God and His nature, hospitality is certainly one thing that we can see. Christ Himself set the example for hospitality, and we are commanded to show hospitality to others. One writer has said that hospitality is seeing the stranger through the eyes of Jesus. It is choosing to look for Jesus in the eyes of each stranger. It is loving the stranger. It is a choice. Look back in Leviticus 19. And God in Leviticus 19 gives His people a very clear command in terms of how they are to deal with strangers. And in verse 33, we read, "And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." God is reminding His people here that they at one point in time were strangers themselves in a foreign land. And it was the grace of God that brought them out of that land. And that's a reminder to us that we one time were strangers and aliens to the grace of God. Look at Exodus 20. God again reminding His people of their previous life as strangers. He says in verse 2 of Exodus 20, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." In Ephesians 2, we read that "now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God." God has been as a host who has welcomed and accepted us into His household as we have, by faith, trusted in Him for salvation. We once were strangers and aliens to God, but He has graciously welcomed and received us. And should we not then have that same attitude towards those that God brings across our path? Should we not have that same welcoming love that God has extended towards us? In Psalm 23, the psalmist wrote, "Thou preparest a table before me." Again, the idea of God being a gracious host, welcoming and receiving. Jesus Christ Himself said in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Revelation 3, verse 20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." One writer has said that the very identity of the people of God as sojourners and aliens is a deep reminder of our dependence on God as host. God has graciously welcomed and received us, and He continues to meet our every need. That, again, is the attitude we should have towards those that God brings into our lives. Grace is the hospitality of God to welcome sinners, not just because of their goodness, but because of His glory. If God chose not to magnify the glory of His own self-sufficiency, and instead enrich Himself by looking for talented and virtuous housemates, there would be no grace in the world, and no hospitality, and no salvation. We owe our eternal life to grace, and grace is God's disposition to glorify His freedom and power and wealth by showing hospitality to sinners. If God had the same attitude that sometimes we have towards others, in which we, because we think we're too busy, or because of maybe a physical characteristic of that person that is repulsive, or for whatever reason, maybe we don't think that that other individual is somebody we want to identify with all. If God had that same attitude, that would be a deplorable circumstance. And of course, God is welcoming and gracious to all. Let's look at the example of Jesus. And I have four examples that I think really point out the heart of our Savior in this area of hospitality. First of all, the feeding of the 5,000. It was near the end of the day. The disciples were ready to have the crowd dismissed with. They wanted to have their own quiet time, if you will. And they were begging Jesus to get rid of the crowd, send them on their way. But Christ responded in Matthew 14. He said, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." Again, Christ was not concerned about his own personal well-being at that moment, his own personal comfort zone, if you will. He probably was tired and worn out from the day's activities. But it was a situation in which Christ could show himself and who he was to this crowd. And he did it not out of his own convenience, but out of giving glory to God for who he was. Another example is Zacchaeus. In Luke 19, we read that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. There probably were a lot of people in that crowd that day that when Christ went to meet with Zacchaeus in his home, their response probably was utter amazement. Like, how could he dare associate himself with that kind of person? But it was Christ's interest in Zacchaeus and his personal needs that motivated him to show hospitality that day. You think of Jesus and the children, in which the disciples, they wanted to shoo them away. And yet Christ said, "Let them come to me." Again, showing hospitality, kindness, love, charity to these that the disciples in their minds were wanting to get rid of. And then in John 4, we have the familiar story of the Samaritan woman at the well. And on that particular occasion, Jesus and his disciples were traveling from south to north, from Judea up to Galilee. And there were two traditional paths that they could take. One pathway took them across the Jordan River and up and into Galilee. And many Jews took that course because they did not want to travel through Samaria. The Samaritans were looked down upon because they were a mixture of Jews and Gentiles. And for hundreds of years, the Jews had looked down upon the Samaritans, almost in a racially motivated and charged way. They didn't want to have anything to do with them. And so some people would take the extra time to go out of their way so that they would not have to go through Samaria. But because of time, Christ and his disciples on that day traveled that way. And of course, their mode of transportation was by foot. That's not a particularly flat area. It's a hilly, rugged area. And if you can just picture in your mind that day, the hot sun beating down and the dusty road of traveling, I'm sure they were getting worn out, tired, and thirsty. This past summer, I took my two older boys, a 6-year-old and a 5-year-old, and a brother-in-law of mine, we went out to Rocky Mountain National Park, and we camped out there for several days. And we had a campsite that was several miles into the park, so we had to do quite a bit of hiking with our packs just to get to our campsite. But then in the days that we were in the park, we did quite a bit of more hiking. And on one particular day, it was a pleasant 75 degrees, but the sun was shining. It was pretty hot. The pathway we were on was quite dusty. It was also a pathway that horses used, and they kept coming by and stirring up the dust. But when you're traveling and hiking like that, you know, you don't have a lot of resources. You pack the water that you think you're going to need for that day, but inevitably you end up running short. And I remember on that particular day we were hiking along, and we came out into this clearing, and it happened to be an area that was more of a tourist area of the park that had a bathhouse and had water fountains, and we were so relieved to be able to get somewhere where we could splash some water on our faces and get some fresh, cool drinking water. And I imagine that was the scenario here as the disciples in John 4 approached this small little town in the middle of Samaria. They were thirsty and they needed a break from their travels, but they were ready to just get moving too. They wanted to get their water and go. And yet there was this woman here in which Christ stopped and talked to her. And the disciples would have nothing to do with that because she was a Samaritan. And yet Christ in this moment gave her his undivided attention. He was unaffected by the fact that she was a Samaritan. His concern was not for his own personal well-being, which was his thirst and comfort, but he was concerned solely about the spiritual needs of this woman. And here we see the perfect picture of Christ-like hospitality, taking time to deal with somebody about their spiritual needs and not having a concern for personal well-being. The ultimate act of hospitality was when Jesus Christ died for sinners to make everyone who believes a member of the household of God. We're no longer strangers and foreigners. We have come home to God, and everybody who trusts in Jesus finds a home in God. Look at Philippians 2. We could look at a number of passages this morning that draw our attention to the responsibility of believers concerning the attitude that we should have towards others. And of course, in this particular context, we're talking specifically about strangers, those that we don't know, those that we cross paths with. And it may just be the simple kind word that we speak in that moment. It may be just the smile that makes the difference in that moment with that person. One of the departments I oversee on campus interacts a lot with the public. And one day I had somebody write me a note and said that they had had an interaction with this particular department. It was a very brief, quick interaction. They were there just picking something up and left. There wasn't a lot to it. But they said that in that very brief moment of interaction with that person that they did not know, it made a huge difference in their life that day because they had just lost their father. And they were going through a very difficult time grieving. And this person wrote and said that the kindness that that individual showed me in that very, very short moment made a tremendous impact on my day, that life. Showing the love of Christ. In Philippians 2, In verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3, we read that we've been chosen of God, holy and beloved. Therefore, we need to put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Hebrews 13, we read, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. That phrase, entertain strangers, is the same word that the word hospitality comes from. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And then look at Romans 12. Romans 12, Paul is giving a number of practical considerations for the believer and how we should conduct our lives. In verse 9, he says, let love be without dissimulation or without hypocrisy. Verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. And verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. This idea of hospitality is something that is vital to the believer's life. God Himself has shown us hospitality, and we, therefore, should be showing hospitality to others. It is in the context of hospitality that discipleship happens best. In a hospitable place, guests can get a taste of what the Christian family is all about. It's in the context of hospitality that visitors can come to appreciate the unconditional love of God for them in Jesus Christ. Modeled through us by our example of sharing our lives, our personal spaces, our resources, without a demand for any kind of return from that person. You can leave an indelible mark on the life of another person by the kind of love and hospitality and kindness that you show them. How do we do it? Simply giving people our full attention by not putting our own personal concerns first. We view individuals as human beings rather than as a need or an interruption. Several years ago, I had a friend that gave me a framed poem that I've often turned my attention to because it really summarizes in many ways the kind of expectation that God has for us. It says, your life is Jesus to someone. Though torn and tattered it may be, though oftentimes weak and unstable, you are all of God someone will see. Think about that. You are all of Christ that someone may see. What kind of example are you? Let us show hospitality one to another. Let's close in prayer. Father, in this area of showing love and kindness to strangers, let us remember what you have done for us, Father. Lord, the opportunities that you give us to be a witness and testimony, I pray that we will have this same example that Christ showed the woman at the well. Not concerned about his own personal needs at that moment, but concerned about her and what the needs in her life were. We ask now that you'll dismiss us with thy blessing. In your name we pray. Amen.